United States v. Jock. Mr. Tunick.
Good morning, Your Honor. James Tunick on behalf of Judith Hopkins. In the current environment, criminal defense lawyers, with defendants being shipped to online prisons, not being able to speak English, I submit that it would be awful precedent to allow a district judge to run roughshod on the time limit set by the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. I filed a motion seeking simply the statutory 14 days to file objections to the PSI. That was not granted. It was denied. That was my objection. I submit to you there was no waiver. I objected to the time frame. I filed a motion. It was granted in part. But what part? It didn't give me the statutory time frame of 14 days to object. Judge Holderman only gave me 5 days. In light of the PSI, it became particularly important in this case because the government submitted, and we agreed at the change of plea hearing, that the base offense level in this case was 32. It wasn't until I actually received the PSI that I was on notice that the base offense level was being increased 4 levels, significantly affecting my client's prison term. As a result, I wanted time to object to that. I did file my objections in accordance with Judge Holderman's order, but that wasn't the proper time frame. The federal rules were amended in 1994 to specifically allow longer periods of time to allow the defense to see the PSI. As this court stated in United States v. Knorr, that's intended to protect the due process rights of the defendants. And as this court also stated in United States v. Boucher, a waiver, as Easterbrook stated, a waiver is defined as a failure to assert one's rights at the appropriate time. I submit to you that I filed a motion I objected to the time frame that was established. I filed a motion, and that was denied. I did preserve my right, although I did not object to at the sentencing. Previously, I objected. What was the point in reiterating my position that I should be given more time? The judge already heard.
What difference does any of this make?
Well, Your Honor, the reason is that the base offense level went up 4 levels.
Yeah, but what difference? I'm trying to figure out what difference it makes concretely.
Okay.
If, for example, you had evidence to offer that wasn't available at the time and you came up with, say, 7 days after the sentencing, then I could see something concrete. But so far as I can see, you haven't offered at any time between the sentencing and today any evidence or information you would have presented to the judge but were disabled from presenting to the judge.
I absolutely understand the question, Your Honor. And I submit to you that, number one, I would have had a little bit more time to object.
You've now had a year.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Come up with nothing.
Okay. What it is, Judge, is that they based it on, they submitted a lab report based on the purity of the meth. And that was simply based on a lab report. I submit to you that if I had a little bit more time, I would have said, put the chemist on the witness stand. And let's see the lab report.
It didn't take more time to ask for that. It might have taken more time if you wanted to submit it to your own expert for analysis, but of course you could have done that in the intervening time. But it took no time at all to say, I would like live testimony.
Well, Judge, I didn't feel I had the opportunity to analyze the issue properly. And I think that one thing that came up was that the purity of the meth could have been objected to. That was the basis of the 4-level enhancement. The second thing, Judge, is I submitted in the brief was the issue about the safety valve. There was no question my client qualified for the safety valve but for the fifth requirement, that prior to the time of sentencing, she give a complete and truthful statement of her involvement in the offense. And if I was able to be given more time, I could have discussed this issue with my client at the jail and re-proffered her in the proper time frame and to give to allow her the
It is possible for sentences to be reopened and reduced on the ground of assistance to the prosecutor after sentencing.
Correct.
Well, so have you tendered your client for that purpose?
But Judge, substantial assistance is
that
different.
Question can be answered yes or no.
No, I haven't. But substantial assistance is a major distinction than the fifth requirement of the safety valve. You don't have to. The government traditionally will only allow substantial assistance when they get a new case against someone, or assist in the prosecution of co-defendants. That wasn't something that was presentable in this situation, Judge. And so
How did the shortened time affect the safety valve issue?
Well, my client was in a facility out in Wisconsin. She was shipped to the MCC approximately a week before sentencing. I didn't have the time to explain to her prior statements. She could have the chance to go back to the government, give additional statements that they believe might have been more truthful to allow her to get the safety valve. The time frame was shortened so significantly that I didn't have the ability to...
But she was here. I'm sympathetic because I appreciate this travel problem. It's just gotten worse for defense counsel with limitations on the MCC.
Correct.
And I respect that you may have an intense and busy practice, but she is a couple blocks away, and I'm not suggesting that the shortened time was appropriate. But that discussion does seem obtainable.
Well,
if you
look at my motion to extend the time to file the pretrial motion, besides the fact that I never received the PSI, I told Judge Holderman that I was starting a trial on February 3rd. So I actually sent someone else over from my office to discuss the PSI with her and go over it with an interpreter. I submit to you that I didn't have the appropriate time under the rules, and aside from... I agree with you, Your Honor. It's a problem that could have been more readily resolved, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was whether or not the judge improperly denied me that additional time. And without any further questions at this point, I would just ask if I could say the rest of the time for rebuttal.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Alicia?
May it please the Court, Joe Alicia on behalf of the United States. The defendant's participation in the sentencing hearing without objection to the truncated period between her receipt of the PSR, the pre-sentence report in this case, and the sentencing hearing effectively waives her claim. The defendant even now...
Why a special waiver rather than a forfeiture?
Judge, it does maybe at first blush appear to look like a forfeiture, but this court, as well as other circuits, have held that participation in a sentencing hearing, as was the case by the defendant here, is the equivalent of waiver. Moreover, whether we call it waiver or...
I don't understand participation in the sentencing hearing. It doesn't have any choice. The defendant is picked up by the scruff of her neck and moved into court. She doesn't say, excuse me, this is inconvenient, I'm not coming.
Respectfully, Judge, she could have objected, or at least had not objected, but requested more time for the sentencing hearing. The defense in this case did request more time to file objections to the PSR and to file downward departures, which Judge Holderman in part granted. At no time, and that's a separate request, at no time did the defendant ever request a stay or a continuance for the actual sentencing hearing. And that's why we state, Judge, that her participation she could have avoided participating in the sentencing hearing that day if she felt more time was required.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just track that, Mr. Rush. Run that by me again, how she could have delayed the...
Well, she could have at least requested more time to prepare for the sentencing hearing, something she never did.
And that's the forfeiture, the distinction between the waiver and the forfeiture. The waiver is the defendant says, I consent to a sentencing hearing on date X. And a forfeiture is failure to object to a hearing on date X. Otherwise, you just abolish the distinction between waiver and forfeiture.
Respectfully, Judge, we believe that this court and those other circuits in those cases that we cite in our brief have stated that this is the functional equivalent of waiver, what happened here. Moreover, whether it's forfeiture or waiver, there was no prejudice incurred here.
If it's waiver, then that's the end of it. There's no inquiry for plain error. It's just the end, right? You can't complain about your own decision. It's only if it's forfeiture that we look at whether there was plain error or prejudice or anything like that.
We believe in our position that it was waived. And even now, up till today, the defendant does not state what she would have done differently had she been given the full 35 days as promulgated in Rule 32, nor does she state how the short...
Are there, by the way, any defendants now in the Northern District of Illinois who were given the full 35 days? I understand the Northern District of Illinois has adopted a local rule basically refusing to follow the national rules.
That answer is above my pay grade, Judge. I don't know the answer to that.
You don't know what the local rule provides?
Yes, I do know what the local rule provides.
And what does it provide?
You are correct.
Fewer than 35 days.
You are correct.
Mm-hmm. I expect we'll be seeing a challenge to that local rule soon enough.
For these reasons, Your Honors, the government respectfully requests that this court affirm the judgment.
Your Honor, there's a distinction between objecting to the sentencing hearing and objecting to the time frame for the filing the objection to the PSI. I clearly objected to the time frame for filing the objection to the PSI. There's no question about that. And that's really the basis of my argument. The government has maintained I didn't object to a continuance of the sentencing. Well, I didn't. But my objection here is related to the PSI. And it's implicit that when you seek an extension of the time frame to file objections to the PSI, that in light that the court might under its own, on its sua sponte, extend the time for the sentencing hearing. I maintain that I did provide what would have been different. And what would have been different is I would have talked to my client specifically about her proffer with in the safety valve. And I would have contested the purity of the meth and the calculations of the purity. Because we know that blindsided me. The government
was... I come back to my question. Is there any reason to doubt, even now, that the calculation of purity was correct? Have you submitted it to another expert for an independent analysis, for example?
Your Honor, that would be very difficult to do. Being I'm appointed on this case, and that my client's already been sentenced to get approval for an expert to analyze the meth at this point, after the sentencing's occurred. I mean, if the court were to reverse it, surely I would undertake that. I mean, something to that effect, and I will allow my...
But we don't reverse judgments for useless things. If there's no reason to doubt that the calculation was correct, there's no point in reversal.
Well, I submit to you that the opportunity to discuss with my client her proffer and the ability to obtain the safety valve and the possibility to contest the purity of the meth would be something that could lead to a different result here. I understand the question, and I just differ on from my perspective.
Let me get at least my area of concern here, because I believe, like Judge Easterbrook, I have some concern whether waiver is the appropriate matter here. It may well be forfeiture, and so we can get to what you raise. I also am somewhat sympathetic, if it is your argument, that you didn't want to ask for a postponement when you've already got a been told by a district judge that you're on a pretty fast track.
Absolutely.
But how do I recognize that, or at least I ask you to believe that I do recognize that? It does seem that some statement needed to be made at the sentencing as to the effect of why specifically a little more time could have produced it. I mean, not just to reiterate, can I have the days that I'm authorized to have by rule, but to make some statement to of the need for the kind of further investigation. And I mention that to you because I am concerned about honoring these time frames and whether or not the government is appropriately following them as well, especially when they know a judge's lesson. I can suggest that it might be the responsibility of the government as well as the defense counsel in some instances to alert a judge if he or she has inappropriately tightened a granted time frame. But I think in this case, for us to find that there might be some merit in revisiting it, we have needed some indication, if only to the effect, as you argued today, about the language issue having a built-in time aspect to it. I can understand that.
Your Honor, I'm not sure what that would have accomplished if I actually said that to Judge Holderman. I think that would have created all sorts of havoc.
You don't think that might have buttressed a need for at least a continuation?
I
mean, apart from the objection you made earlier.
I don't think he would have granted me a continuance. I filed my objections. I filed a downward departure in light of his ruling. I'm not sure what that would accomplish at the sentencing, aside from prejudicing my client.
Well, the objections didn't contain some of the thoughts I believe that I'm
stating now.
Stating now that I respect could be legitimately raised. I mean, it's always difficult when there's a momentum set by any trial judge to seemingly aggravate the atmosphere by a useless request or a seemingly useless request. But here it seems that you could have built a package of reasons that might have been separate.
I'm not sure that I could articulate it at that time, Your Honor. I'm not sure. And that's the basis. Everything happened so fast. And, I presented a foreseeability objection, but I did have a problem looking back at the quantity of the meth, and that's why I brought it to this court, about the purity of the meth. I'm not sure I could have articulated it at that time. That's the only thing.
How about just articulating the concern that you had about it? In other words, not that you could have established it, but just that the reduced time frame put it in.
I think Judge Holderman would have said, did you file an objection on that basis? And I would have said no. And that's how we would have dealt with it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks to all counsel, and a special thanks, Tony, for taking this case on appeal.
Thank you very much.
All right. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.